Well, Steve, Rick, we really appreciate you answering the questions. So now I'd like to kick off today's panel session. Now, Rick and Steve will be part of today's panel on how investors should view the partnering process. Investors need to know about an issuer's process for selecting partners and also for structuring participations. Partners should bring more than money to the JV process. So joining Rick and Steve for this important panel is Teo Dechev, CEO and President of Munduro Capital, and Zach Flood, President, CEO, Director, and Co-founder of Kinderland Minerals Limited, and Morgan Poliquin, President and CEO of Almadex Minerals. So Rick, please take it away.
Thank you so much, Remy. Teo, let's put you on the hot seat to begin with. Ladies first. In this case, you may regret that you're a lady. I want to talk about the partnering process, and I want to talk about it in the context that Remy just talked about. How do you go about, if you can, selecting the right partner for the right project? I understand that you don't always have the luxury of being selective, but tell me first of all about how you select potential partners for projects, and then how you select among them, both in terms of their own competence and in terms of the terms that you're able to extract.
Well, first, thanks for inviting me. That's a really big question and probably will take quite some time to go through, but generally, the high-level points are. So first, I think the most important thing in selecting a partner is alignment of goals. So it's really important at the very, very beginning to understand what that partner is fundamentally looking for. And I think that one of the conversation pieces a little bit earlier that Steve brought up is, the carried interest. That's particularly for Munduro's business, which is where we focus on porphyries and specifically copper porphyries. It's very, very difficult to have a junior partner being carried to the finish line in a large position. 30% is, I would say, probably unheard of. So I think if you start off the conversations with the parties that approach you about your projects and to really try and understand what are their goals, does that match your goals? How do you align that going forward? You're going to be able to work through any potential pitfall or any potential issue that comes up during the negotiation process, or even beyond that, when you're actually operating the assets. So what we look for is obviously partners that are focused on copper, partners that have a long vision for copper, partners who understand the exploration cycle in copper. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's for very deep pockets. Some groups are more scientifically minded than others. And again, trying to understand what exactly drives them and trying to understand which of your projects really fit their profile. So the partnering process upfront, the more work you can do to really understand your partner, the much better outcome there is in that process. And it's a lot of relationship building with those partners. And that once there is that trust, and again, Steve, great presentation you did. You really nailed it in terms of what the seniors are looking for and what the juniors are looking for. I think once a partner understands what it is that you bring to the table in terms of assets, maybe it's some kind of local expertise like a jurisdiction, or maybe it's relationships. Maybe you're the junior that were successful in creating a relationship in a local community that previously a senior was never able to do. Those are all very valuable. So I hope that kind of answered generally the question.
Indeed. Thank you. Zach, moving on to you. You've done a variety of deals with a variety of partners, focusing on both Alaska and Northern Canada. And congratulations, of course, on your success in Quebec with Sumitomo. Tell me, first of all, are you interested in doing generative joint ventures? In other words, are you interested in having a senior come in and fund reconnaissance work, which then becomes a joint venture? Or do you prefer bringing in joint ventures on a sort of a project or specific business? And a follow-on question to that, how is it that you and Sumitomo came to do business on what became that discovery?
Yeah, good question. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I think we've explored the strategic alliance angle previously, where you're talking more of a regional kind of generative alliance. Those are more challenging to structure, I think, and also it kind of limits you from doing deals with multiple different companies on multiple projects if you're working in a big area, say just like, you know, Northwestern Ontario. Yeah. So we've always tried to go out, stake project by project, and kind of work it up to a point where we have an exploration plan and budget, and then present that to a variety of different partners and try to bring in those partners on a you know, per project basis. I think for your second question there, Sumitomo, you know, not a lot of people think Sumitomo has an exploration culture, but in fact they do. And my counterpart there that we ended up striking a deal with on the FROTEP project, where we made this discovery at Renault, had been on the discovery team of Pogo. And that was an interesting discovery story, where they started with stream sediment sampling, very systematic, then got to soil sampling and worked up a target, and then drilled, you know, Greenfield's gold discovery there at Pogo. So he had firsthand experience of really early stage systematic exploration, and that's exactly what we presented to Sumitomo. And is really how we present a lot of our projects, is you know, just start with a big land package, and how are you going to work that down to a drill target and go out and make a discovery. So they understood very well what our strategy was, and we were aligned. Like Teo said, you have to be aligned with your partner, I think, in terms of strategy.
Morgan, between you and your father, Dwayne, the Almaden group of companies, going back, I suppose, to Wesley, has been responsible for four or five economic discoveries. Your focus seems to have been the Cordilleran. But explain to me, and the audience in particular, what interests me about your current approach is your utilization of technology, as an example, astroimagery, and your ability to use your specialized knowledge in the Cordilleran to attract joint ventures. Tell me something about your history of success attracting joint venture partners and your new utilization of technology, as opposed to your father's old boots on the ground technology.
Well, thanks very much, Rick. It's nice to be here. And on that subject, I think mineral deposits are sort of singularities in time and space. And they're very special locations. And the best place to go is where there's already a singularity, work around an old mine. But if you can figure out where these belts of rocks go, particularly where people haven't looked outside of extrapolating beyond points on a map, or even further interpreting why things are where they are that shouldn't be there. So for example, in eastern Mexico, about 25 years ago, I found a couple of copper showings that were in areas where there was more magmatic arcs, and they were porphyries. And it turns out that those magmatic marks weren't identified or understood. And we just heard Steve talk about why those kind of belts can be really important. And so if you can understand where people ought to be but aren't, that's the best place to go, because you can stake things and acquire things very, very, very cheaply. The problem I've had with that approach, however, is that I think there's two reasons why there's two motivations in exploration, just my opinion. One is curiosity, and it's kind of woo-woo. You know, you're out there because you want to find something, and it's fun. And the other one is fear. You don't want to look like an idiot. You don't want to go somewhere that, oh, well, we've already explored there, we already drilled there. That's stupid. And that's the feedback you will get if you do something novel. And it prohibits often joint ventures and, you know, those kind of generative things. So you have to do things on your own if you're thinking out of the box. So that's what I would say as a quick answer.
Steve, you're up next, so you need to unmute. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Well, first of all, thank you for an absolutely drop-dead keynote speech. That was truly spectacular. I understand now why the Colorado School of Mines is always a top 10 STEM school. You just absolutely killed it. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to step away from the Colorado School of Mines and return to your Newmont and or Phelps Dodge days. And I'd like you to extract in short form from each of Teo, Zach, and Morgan why you want to do business with them. I'd like you to extract from them an elevator pitch about why they should be your preferred joint venture partner in each of the terrains that they explore. So I'll leave it to you to harass in very short form. The answers need to be concise. Teo, Zach, and Morgan.
Yeah, so I'll just start with Teo. Briefly tell me what your business model is and why you would want to work with me in a major company.
Okay, so what we focus on is generating ideas and opportunities for seniors that are looking for copper porphyries. We're focused on two main areas. One is the Western Tethyan, which is, and specifically in the Western Tethyan, we're looking at Eastern Europe and Serbia and Bulgaria, which have a very important Upper Cretaceous portion of the belt, which has shown that it has world-class porphyries and a lot of exploration potential that has, quite frankly, not been really explored well compared to most of North or South America for the last 20, 40 years. So if you want to be in a region where you have the potential for 1 to 2 billion ton porphyries, you need to come to the Western Tethyan and get involved with Mindoro, because we're the ones who have locked up the land positions there and have local experience in operating there for over a decade.
Okay.
And then kind of flipping from that, also the Laramide Belt, which, kind of speaking to one of the other points that was brought up earlier, Arizona is one of those areas that everyone assumes has been extremely well explored, but it's a lot of the local folklore of where you don't go, which is exactly the opportunity for more exploration. And obviously, Mindoro has been there for the last 4 years and now has three programs. And again, if you want to look at a copper porphyry that's sticking out of the ground, but never been drilled, you know, come look at Mindoro's project.
So, I violently agree with you. I love those two parts of the world and would like to talk more about it. Thank you. How about you, Zach?
We've got 750,000 hectares of ground covering underexplored greenstone belts in very well-endowed terrains. We've got a strategy to explore them with a big multidisciplinary team as well, a very skilled geoscientist. And we have a track record. This exploration strategy has led to two legitimate grassroots discoveries. One of those is looking quite large and potentially economic. So that would be my pitch.
And you're focused in Canada, Ontario, where in
Canada? Yeah, Western Canada, Eastern Canada, Quebec and Ontario, also Manitoba. And okay. We do have assets up in Alaska, but for a big gold producer, they typically want to be in the Archean greenstone belt. So Quebec and Ontario are the place to be.
Yeah, those are some of my favorite gold deposits in terms of the style. So great place. Morgan, how about you? Where are you working and what's your business model?
Well, we're focused on the Western United States and following what I was asked about Mexico, we made three discoveries down there. Unfortunately, Mexico has recently been challenging, so we've refocused into the Western U.S. And our ideas are really to generate some new prospects in terrains that are underexplored. We're particularly looking at porphyries. We feel that our ability to target, in particular, lithocaps and related high-level epithermal alteration. And our ability to decipher that alteration is going to be the key to our success. We found three deposits in those terrains that over the last 20 years that totaled about 8 million ounces, I think, gold equivalent, a porphyry and a high sulfidation system and a low sulfidation system. So we know that area very well and we have the tools to explore it. We're starting kind of with a early stage generative program, but we want to be very aggressive. So we've done it before, we have the tools to do it, and most importantly, at our last financials, we had, we'll update those shortly, but we had $17 million in cash, Canadian. We've got other investments, but the key, I think, to putting the ideas together with Discovery is we have developed our own ability to drill in-house, and that was in Mexico, but we have two drills now in the United States, and we use the drill as a prospecting tool, and that has been fundamental to our ability to to even do joint ventures, because if, you know, we all know that the first drill program doesn't necessarily work, but we use the three dimensions, the drill core, as a means to vector in and sometimes kill properties early, which is equally important.
Yeah, thanks, Morgan. So, Rick, I have about a zillion follow-up questions for each of our panelists, but I'm going to stop here because we could go on for a long time.
Yeah, and what I'm going to do, Steve, is turn the tables a little bit. I'm going to ask you not to be a professor anymore, but to go back to your days running worldwide exploration from either Phelps or Newmont, depending on who you're directing the question to. And I want you to address, in effect, the shareholders of Teo, Zach, and Morgan, and tell them why you should be the partner. I want the people who are paying attention to this phone call to, pardon me, to this symposium, to understand the importance of the partner. We've had the prospect generators tell you why you should partner with them. Tell us something about the other side of the table. Turn the table. You're now Phelps Dodge. You're now Newmont. Tell us what you're going to do for each of Teo, Zach, and Morgan.
Sure. So it's not hard to play that role, obviously, for me. And so I want to approach it sort of on a commodity basis. So Teo's in looking for porphyry copper deposits, which is the it's the bread and butter of what makes Freeport now post Phelps Dodge work. They're very, very big, very, very long lived assets that contain typically more than copper, obviously moly and gold. We cannot get enough prospects in our pipeline. And in fact, coming from a big copper company where the corporate life is probably in excess of 50 years or something like that, if you divide reserves by annual production, we don't really need to do exploration from a greenfields perspective. And so we want to be able to partner with someone who has that exposure and gives us access to discoveries that might fit our portfolio. What we bring to that is an ability to bring our technology to bear, our ability to understand what may be of value and what might not be of value in a way that can help sort through the opportunities with you. So that's one of the things we would do. Zach's doing mostly greenstone belt gold production. I'm going to put my Newmont hat on. And one of the things about Newmont is we have tremendous technology that we can bring to bear on discovery. And so we would like to see all of our partners working with us on the technical basis to be able to be much more efficient at what we do in terms of the tools we use for discovery. And obviously we have an ability to move the projects forward in a discovery case. And I would tell you that the pace of work in the gold business is much, much faster than in the copper business because the deposits are smaller, they have shorter lives. And as I mentioned, I think earlier in my presentation, I think the gold business is frankly unsustainable at the rate of production we see today. And so we just don't have enough prospects in my view. Morgan's working in Mexico, and that's a bit of a different type of a place. With my Phelps Dodge hat on and my Newmont hat on, both companies have been in and out of Mexico. And it's been
no most there, Steve.
You're no longer there. Okay. You where are you? Where
not
are you, Morgan?
Back either.
Yeah. You're not in Mexico. You're not in Mexico. Where are you at?
No, we're generating a whole new portfolio in the Western U.S., Nevada.
Well, thank you. Better place to be. So when I met you before, it was Mexico. So yeah, we'll leave that alone. So let's go back to the Western U.S. Western U.S. is great. It's still prospective. It's harder to do this, right, in the U.S. And so you have to look at things like Teo was saying in terms of areas that have not been explored because the paradigm was it's too deep or there's nothing there or something else. So either company would be willing to partner with you guys with Amadeen because you're looking for the kind of deposits that are of interest to both of these companies. And again, the value proposition is the same. We have the ability to provide funding and technical expertise, both in terms of exploration technology and approach, as well as how we deal with advanced projects down the track to help our partners.
Wonderful job, Steve. On time, on budget, you finished perfectly. Thank you very much. Thank you all for this panel.